presentation.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Thursday morning to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs coming to you, and I've got just a couple of more opportunities to invite you out to our Mornings Matter Personal Growth Workshop this Saturday morning, 9 a.m. to 12 noon. Free breakfast, free lunch, and you get to leave with more information besides that. You know, if it was just, these places, they offer like free donuts and free Slurpees on 7-Eleven day and all of that sort of stuff and all of that. And once that is gone, it's gone. The free breakfast that we have for you on Saturday, once you've digested it, it's going to be gone. The free lunch, once you've digested that, it will have lost its value. But the information that we're going to share with you on Thursday morning is something that could have a positive impact on you for the rest of your life. And so if there are things that you could set aside or postpone a little bit to come, we want to invest in you this weekend. It's absolutely free. You don't have to attend Merritt Assembly of God. You never have to darken our doors again if you don't want. But if you'd like to come, and this is like free information. It's just great. Now, what you do with the information after that, you see, Jesus said you not only have to be a hearer, but you have to be a doer. And so it is up to you how to apply the information that you are going to receive after this event on Saturday. But if you are interested in coming, if you wouldn't mind giving us a quick call, 321-454-4263, leave a message just so that we are able to have an adequate number of seats prepared, and we're just looking for a great time that we have. Today we're going to go into Isaiah the 33rd chapter. Isaiah the 33rd chapter. And we're going to be talking a little bit about the nature of God today. This is going to be a little bit different than just going straight through the chapter the way that we have, because I believe that the key verse in chapter 33 is in verse number 22. Before we get there, I want to say thank you to Bill Andriak and Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284, 759-3284. We want you to give them a call if you need any help with your AC systems. They will do a great job for you, 759-3284. So, verse number 22 of Isaiah, the 33rd chapter, it says, "For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us." Now, most of the time when people are talking about God, they want to emphasize the last one first. But it is actuality, the one that is first, that enables that ability to save. Now, if you needed saving financially, you don't want to call me. I'm not going to be able to do that, because I don't have the authority to cancel those debts. I don't have the authority to, or the ability, the bank account to be able to pay off those debts. I don't have the resources to be able to provide you everything that you need. And if I did for you, I wouldn't have it to be able to do that for all 7 billion people on the planet. It's just not capable. And you know, when you realize that it is not up to you to be the Messiah, it is a tremendously liberating factor. And so I want to tell you that in our understanding of God, the first mindset that we need to have in order to understand who He is and what benefits that can have in our lives, we need to understand that He is the Lord. He is the self-existent one. He is the sovereign one. He is, and beside Him, there is no other. There is none higher. There is none equal. He is the Lord. He has ultimate authority. He is not like man, where absolute power absolutely corrupts. He is not tainted with the human emotions. You know, when the ancient societies, whenever they created their demigods, they created them with supernatural powers, but they created them with the same failings, the same mindset that humans had. God was not something that we created. He is the Lord. It is because of who He is that everything around us exists. He is the Lord God Almighty. It was because He spoke that everything that we see has come into existence. When the Spirit of the living God hovered over the chaos and over the darkness, He began to speak to that. He began to put things in order. He began to bring things to light. He began to bring beauty out of the chaos. And some people think that that all happened by chance. I don't have that much faith. I have faith to believe in the Lord. And so I want to discuss, and this was probably going to take us a few broadcasts. I want to discuss with you the fact that He is the Lord, the Judge, the Lawgiver, the King, and our Savior. So in chapter 33, there are several things to us that we can look to see about the nature of His Lordship. In verse number 2, it says, "O Lord, be gracious to us, for we have waited for You." So we see that in His Lordship, He is a Lord of grace. He is a Lord who bestows unmerited favor. He's a Lord who operates in compassion. In verse number 5, we see that the Lord is exalted, for He dwells on high. He is exalted to the highest place. He is not an obscure Lord. He is not an absentee Lord. He is not an incoherent Lord. He is not a negligent Lord. He sits on the throne in power. He dwells on high. He has perspective that you and I do not have. It goes on in verse number 6, and it says, let me just go ahead and read verses 5 and 6. "The Lord is exalted, for He dwells on high. He has filled Zion with justice and righteousness. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is His treasure." And that word "His" there has a capital H. It means that the fear of the Lord is God's treasure. And so in His Lordship, from His perspective on high, He is looking for people who will reverence Him, who will live their lives in reverencing the Lord, who will understand His position of authority and His right to do as He does. And He says that when we live like that, we are His treasure. The fear of the Lord is His treasure. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It causes you to be the treasure in God's kingdom. You're the apple of His eye, the joy of His heart. I encourage you to recognize the exalted nature of the Lord our God. Verse number 10 says, "Now I will rise, says the Lord. Now I will be exalted. Now I will lift myself up." We hear people a lot of times who describe themselves as self-made or self-determining, but there is only one who is able to do for themselves without anyone else, and that is the Lord. There's a joke that goes around about scientists, and believe me, I appreciate science. They understand things that I don't know. I just think that science goes too far at times when they think that they have learned more than they have, and they start describing as facts things that are in actuality just a theory. And they can't even all agree as to the reality and the veracity of certain theories, but they are unified in the fact that the Word of God is wrong. So please understand, not intimidated by science, not threatened by science. I believe that God has gifted them with wisdom and knowledge and insight. I just don't want to make the mistake of going too far and trusting what they say, because at one point in time, scientists told us that the Earth was the center of the universe. They told us that the Earth was flat. They've been wrong many times before. So that's sure to go over well. So it says, "Now I will arise. Now I will be exalted. Now I will lift myself up." God is the self-existent one. He didn't create himself. He is. Everything else you see around us was created. So the story with the scientist is the scientist went to God and said, "We no longer need you. You see, we have had so many scientific breakthroughs that we can now do everything that you once did. We now have the ability to create life itself." And he said, "Okay, well, let's see." And so they started to gather some dirt, and he said, "Oh, no, that's not the ground rules. You see, I did it without anyone's help. You don't get to borrow my dirt in order to prove that you can do it without me." You and I, we need to realize we need one another. You were created for community, not isolation. You were created to be part of a body, not to be standing alone. I went to a meeting probably a month or so ago, and a friend of mine had a conversation about it afterwards. He wasn't able to go, and he said, "How was the meeting?" I said, "You know, I found it to be really pretty interesting, because it was a ministry that has pretty much stood alone all of these times." And I said, "And all of a sudden, I'm hearing them talking about things and saying words like family, and we need one another, and you know, that they're wanting to do outreach." I said, I came away greatly encouraged, because I felt like they were ready to come and be a part of the broader body of Christ at large. And so I was greatly encouraged by that. You weren't meant to be alone. You were meant to be in fellowship with God and in fellowship with his body. Verse number 21, it says, "But there the majestic Lord will be for us a place of broad rivers and streams, in which no galley with oars will sail, nor majestic ships pass by." You see, when the other thing about the Lord is the majesty that accompanies. You have never seen pomp and circumstance the way that there is pomp and circumstance in heaven. You see, in heaven, everything revolves around the throne. The throne is the central aspect. There aren't things that are going on that the Lord is unaware of there is everything that is happening. Everything emanates from the throne. Angels behold his face. They hear the message. They hear, they receive their assignment. They go, they do it, they return and say, you are faithful and true in all of your ways. You are faithful and just in all of your ways. Everything revolves because God is the omniscient one, the majesty that is there. It is why people in heaven never stop worshiping. Angels never stop worshiping. They never stop declaring the holiness of God. They never stop. It is always revolving around that. You see, the difference between the throne in heaven, the Lord of heaven, and magistrates and government officials here on the earth is here people govern only with the information that is fed to them. They surround themselves with advisors, and advisors shield them from things that they don't want them to know. They tell them what they need to hear, not necessarily all of the information. And so anybody who sits in government here operates from a very limited perspective. Not so with God. You see, God is not limited to time. He is eternal. It is a majestic place. There are no changing light bulbs in heaven because the majesty, the light of God, the light that emanates from the throne fills heaven. Read the book of Revelation. Read it from this perspective. Read it to see how ornate it is, how beautiful it is. What a glorious thing that it is. Let me take you to Revelation chapter 4, because it is one of my favorite things. I think I've probably shared this before, but if you're discouraged in the ministry, Revelation chapter 4 is of great encouragement to you, because after you've dealt with broken, fallen, hurting people constantly, sometimes it's great to get a perspective of the throne. Let me just read chapter 4 for you. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and they were created. You see, God is a worthy Lord. He is a holy Lord. He is an almighty Lord. He sits upon the throne. And so there never ceases to be worship. There never ceases to be thanksgiving. There never ceases to be activity around the throne. God is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and he is very actively involved. He pays attention. He knows the hairs that you have on your head. He knows how tall you are. He actually knows your weight. He knows your thoughts before you ever think them, your words before you ever say them. He knows the plans that he has for you, that they are plans to do you good and not harm. He knows everything there is to know about you, and he knows it about me and every other person, and he's not even strained in his capabilities. That's the type of Lord he is. He is the Lord. He is also our judge. You've heard me say it before. The one verse that people tend to know now in our society is judge not lest you be judged. And I want you to know that that doesn't mean that you get to do whatever you want. It doesn't mean that there's not anarchy that happens, that sets in whenever the failure to appreciate the judge is in place. It means that God is the one who is going to make the determination. There is a day of accountability. There is a day when you are going to cross the threshold into God's courtroom. You want to be standing there with an advocate, Jesus Christ, who will represent you well. You see, I crossed the threshold of a court one time. And I was there to support a family. I wasn't there as a defendant. And I had a conversation with a lawyer after that. And he said, Pastor, when you have crossed the threshold into a courtroom, you have entered my world. You have entered into a different world. You need someone who is familiar with the culture and the protocol of that world. Don't ever go into a courtroom setting. Don't go before a judge without having qualified representation. He and I had several discussions, and I was searching for an attorney to represent this family at one point in time. And I told him of the attorney that they had selected. And he said, well, I know him. He's a nice guy. And he says, but when you go into a courtroom, you don't want somebody who's necessarily going to be a nice guy. You want somebody who is going to be a pit bull, who knows the way that the legal system operates and is going to fight for your clients. I want you to know that one day you and I are going to stand before the Heavenly Father. We're going to stand before the Lord, our judge. And we need to have an advocate. An advocate is just a simple, it's a term for a representative. It's a term for an attorney who is going to represent us in truth and integrity. And the only person, see, there's going to be another person there. That is Satan, the accuser of the brethren. And he's going to make all sorts of accusations. And here's the reality. Many of those accusations may be factual. If you ask, Bob, would he be able to accuse you of ever having stolen something? I would say yes. Would he be able to accuse you of ever having not told the truth? I would say yes. Would he ever be able to accuse you of coveting something? I would say yes. But I would have my advocate there in Jesus Christ and say, yeah, Father, those facts were true, but I want you to know that he came and he asked me to be his Savior and his Lord and forgive him of those sins. And Father, I paid the price, and you will not find those accusations written in your book anymore, because they are no longer the reality. Those have been forgiven. Those have been wiped clean. And the judge will look at that and say, you are forgiven. Your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Enter into the joy of my rest, and my works will be tried by fire. And those things which were done in the flesh, those will be consumed. Those things which were done in faith, those things are going to come forth shining gloriously before the throne of grace. You see, God is the judge, and he cannot be bought. He cannot be bribed. He cannot be intimidated. He cannot be blackmailed. He is not going to judge according to what was popular. He is not going to judge according to how people voted. He is not going to judge by Republican or Democrat or Libertarian or Green Party or Independent. He's not going to judge by American or international. He's going to judge by the Word of God. You see, He is the judge. It never, the Word of God never says that there's not going to be a day of accountability that comes. Nebuchadnezzar came to the realization that this judge was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when Nebuchadnezzar was deposed because God, he was lifted up in pride and God humiliated him and humbled him. And he ended up dwelling with the animals exposed to the elements and had lost his sanity. All of a sudden, one day he looked up and he realized that God was the judge, that God was the one that was actually in control, that he causes kingdoms to rise and kingdoms to fall. It was when he humbled himself that his sanity was restored, and he was restored to his position. God is the judge. So I had a conversation with a person one time. This goes back 30 years, a little more than 30 years. And he said, when I stand before God, I'm going to give him an account. I'm going to tell him exactly how it was down here. And after I get through explaining how things operated here on earth, he's going to understand and he's going to let me into heaven no matter what I've done. And I said, you don't understand God. You don't understand God. You see, God is fully aware of how things operate down here. Doesn't mean he endorses it. Doesn't mean he's pleased with it. But he is aware of it. But he has given us an advocate. He has given us a Savior who came to pay the price. That Savior was tempted in every manner as we have been tempted, yet without sin. He knows that you can live an overcoming life. God is our judge. I've been before a judge a few times in my life, and I tell you, it's always a very humbling experience. I want to ask you today, are you ready to stand before the judge? If today was your last day on earth, if you were ready to draw your last breath, would you be prepared to stand before the judge? Would he say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Would he say, your name is written in the Lamb's book of life? Or would he say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you? See, those are the two options. But one thing is a reality. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. One does it in advance. One does it as a last resort. As for you, as for me, I'm thankful my knee's already bowed. My tongue already confesses. Are you ready? If not, let's change that right now. Heavenly Father, forgive us. Save us. Deliver us. May you find our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life and us living a faithful and fruitful life. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.